Good afternoon, everybody. I see we've hit the magic hour here of 3 p.m. Eastern, and we do want to welcome everybody and wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. We're excited to have so many people join us today for the call. It's been a terrific project, and I think it'll be applicable to many of you across the field. On the screen here, you will see a lot of the people that are going to be presenting today during the call today and again on the 31st. The first picture, the suave gentleman with the glasses there, is Mark Haverin, your physical therapy discipline lead. The second picture is me, Nan Musson, speech pathology. The next person is Deb, who is your occupational therapy lead, and then Kirsten Johnston, who is the Des Moines facility telehealth coordinators. And the four of us will be presenting most of the call today, and then next call you will meet the rest of the team who will be sharing the actual protocol and some of the steps that we'll be doing. And so, Rich, I'll let you turn it over to the slides now. And welcome to the Home Interdisciplinary Telerehab Team, and we're calling it our abbreviated HIT. And you can join by Adobe Connect and listen from your computer speakers. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see that there is a variety of handouts, and you can download them, so just click on and download. We do have closed captioning running today so that it can be available in the future on TMS. And then also at the bottom right-hand corner, you're going to see a variety of chat boxes so that you can write in at any time and ask a question. And I see there's a question that there is a call-in number. It's all on your computer right now, so there isn't a separate call-in number. If you need help, just type that in, and one of our team will be able to help us. I do want to thank the University of Pittsburgh rehab team, that engineering team that's involved with this project, and they helped to coordinate the call today. A quick review of some of the people involved, and it's a variety of program offices. So Rural Health helped provide some of the funding for the project. It's been facilitated by Rehab and Prosthetic Service in collaboration with the University of Pittsburgh Rehab Engineering and Assistive Technology Team. Many of you might be familiar with them from the Assistive Technology Labs. It's aligned with the Blueprint for Excellence, and many thanks to our pilot site in Des Moines. The agenda today is going to include welcome and introductions, which we've sort of skimmed through already, a background of some of the collaboration, and a variety of different priorities that each of the program offices have, a little bit about telehealth technology, workload capture, steps for the doing a in-home telehealth visit, and then the Des Moines experience, and then we'll leave time for questions and answers. We want everybody to also join us on March 31st at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's where we will actually walk you through a home evaluation, an example of how you would use the technology. And we're going to have some case presentations by the Des Moines team to go over a few of cases that they have experienced and some of the lessons learned that they've had. Of course, we have to start with a little bit of background and a strategic alignment. And first of all, I want to thank our partners in Rural Health for helping to support this with funding. Their mission is listed there to improve health and well-being of rural veterans by increasing access to care and services. But we did want to highlight just a second why this project may be slightly different. We know that many of you out there have received funding or partial funding to do projects at your local facility, but this was one to really help seed funding to initiate a national project under rehab and prosthetic service. And the goal is to do a project that then we can sustain across the country. It is also in collaboration with a variety of other program offices, including telehealth, geriatrics, and extended care, and you may hear us mention a few others. And we are working with our partners in the community and the university. And the goal is to really identify best practices that can be standardized and shared via telehealth technology. We didn't receive any technology or equipment dollars for this project. So everything that we're going to be sharing today is existing resources within your medical center. And so you don't necessarily have to think about additional funds for purchasing equipment. And of course, then Mark is going to wrap it up toward the end, talking about some of the evidence and the national clinical impact that it may have. Just a quick note that geriatrics and extended care, this is just a list of their ABC strategic priorities, and we did consider them when putting together this project. So it includes access, balance, and coordination of care. And also, we wanted to highlight that one of the issues with VERA funding is that we can include a maximum of 5 telehealth visits that can count towards your VERA funding. And we did find, by searching, that there are approximately 174 HBPC rehab staff. So we do, in part of rehab, play a significant role. Our partners in telehealth have been training us for a long time that we have to get out of our hospital or our clinic room and start thinking about getting into the home and utilizing a variety of technology. As many of you know, telehealth services has now combined with connected care, and it's now under one program office called Connected Care. And their vision is to access the veteran experience will be enhanced by information and communication technologies, including all virtual modalities that are effectively integrated into daily activities of veterans and VA staff. And so you can see here combining telehealth, mobile health, and what we know as My Healthy Vet. And this is just a quick snapshot as we go through this presentation today of all the variety of different options we have for our patients. It's almost endless where we can connect with utilizing different telehealth technology, apps, My Healthy Vet, and you're going to hear about how these different technologies were utilized for this project. And just a quick note here that rehab and prosthetic services, we wanted to align the project with those services as well. And highlighted, you'll see access and timeliness for care, rural health is a priority, implementation of best practices, and expanding tele-rehab sites and services. So these are some of the key priorities that we've included as the project has been developed. And Mark, I think I'm going to turn it over to you for a few slides here.
Yeah, welcome everybody. This is Mark Haverin. I'm the physical therapy discipline lead out of the Rehabilitation and Prosthetics Office. And this project originally was put together and entitled Feasibility for a Standardized Home Environmental and Physical Assessment and Assistive Technology Rehabilitation. So, hence, the change in the title to HIT. This is a little bit long. This is the initial one-year funding that was provided by the Office of Rural Health. And how this kind of moved forward was looking at a lot of discussions and input from the field, asking questions. We wanted to try to see what we could do and what we could align with the pilot site that then would result in the current call that you're listening to today. And so the So within the rehabilitation prosthetics services, you've already listened to Nan speak a little bit. Deb has pointed out in her picture as the OT discipline lead, and then myself. We have also partnered with the University of Pittsburgh that's currently providing this Adobe Connect. They've also did multiple things behind the scenes that you'll soon learn about, as well as provide closed captioning here at the same time that this call is taking place. And here are some of the leads at University of Pittsburgh: Mark Schmeller, Andy Septono, Richard Schein, Joseph Rushing, Vince Chiappa, and Carl Kemmerer. And you'll hear from them specifically more so during the next call. What we really wanted to address was some of these overarching goals, as Nan highlighted earlier. We wanted to support an experienced interdisciplinary team, specifically within a home-based primary PACT, a specialty PACT that some of you may be aware of. We also wanted to look at developing a standardized protocol slash guidelines for home environmental assessments that would address some of the external peer review measures, EPRPs, the physical assessment with follow-up virtual rehabilitation for prosthetic and assistive technology, and then look at developing an educational module that we can implement across the country and share. And so, with that, each facility is going to have a different makeup. So their home care program may have different disciplines. They may have different resources. And as long as folks are following any specific handbooks and directives, we were hoping that this will apply to you. As you'll hear, before I turn it back over to Nan, you know, the chief consultants of rehabilitation prosthetics, Dr. Lou Beck, the chief consultant of geriatrics extended care, where the home-based primary care program lies, is Dr. Richard Allman, and of course, the chief consultant for the Office of Rural Health, Ms. Gina Capra. It was great collaboration with those three chief consultants to allow this to occur, and you'll see why we're pretty excited about this as we move forward. And with that, Nan, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back to you as it relates to some of the triple aims. Well, I can go over this before we hand it up. You know, our specific goal with this triple aim approach was to standardize a model and protocol, a protocol for follow-up virtual training, and then, of course, highlighting the improved access, highlighting interdisciplinary goals and treatment plans. We were looking at ways we could decrease fee-based costs, non-VA care costs, and now care in the community, as it is called. We certainly want to improve veteran satisfaction, and hoping that through this, with the training modules that can be presented, we really want to ignite the transformational thoughts that you might have and how this might actually be able to be rolled out at your facility. I think that's some of the exciting stuff moving forward, because it always seems like one idea will lead to 20. So I'm now going to turn it over to Nan, and thanks again.
Thanks, Mark. One of the things that I'm going to share a little bit is some of the guidance I had from one of my famous telehealth mentors, Pat Ryan. She's now retired from telehealth services, but many of you may know her. But when I was first beginning telehealth, she said, make sure you start by defining first the who, what, when, and where, and why. Lastly, then pick the most appropriate telehealth equipment. So that's where you're going to see us walk through some of the things that both all of us at the national office and the Des Moines team thought about and brainstormed and contributed to before we jumped into just doing telehealth. And I think that's an important thing for all of us to think about as we're starting or developing telehealth programs is, it's not the telehealth equipment always, it's deciding what you need to do and then selecting the same, the correct equipment. And for those of you involved with assistive technology or augmentative communication devices, it's the same principle. Not one device is going to be appropriate for every patient. And many thanks, and if we had an audience here, we could clap for them. But Mark Haverin and the Central Iowa team in Des Moines agreed to pick up the challenge and serve as our pilot site. And we did that because not only Mark was there on site to help be available and help guide the whole program, but they were already engaged in doing a variety of home visits and had already started to tap into options for telehealth into the home. And one of the things you need to do early on is identify your virtual interdisciplinary tele-rehab team, and then talk about your roles and responsibilities. A lot of us all work in our own what we call silos or towers, where you may only talk to the rehab staff, and in some cases you may only talk to the rehab staff, meaning PT and OT, and not talk to the speech pathologist, and the telehealth staff is way on the other side of the building or maybe even off-site, and you don't coordinate together. So one of the other underlying principles we want to say here is that you have to work together as a team. Because it's all everyone working together. The one nice thing that this project has, and we're using this as a model to then share, is that the telepresenters were actually hired to do this project and focus on building relationships and training other staff how to go out into the home. And Kirsten will mention a little bit more about that in the telehealth technology section, but that I think is a real key to this being a successful project. And then, of course, the team members need to get together and hash out who, what, when, where, and why, and what populations they're going to serve. So this was a slide with just some of the potential etiologies or patient diagnostic categories that were tossed around. And as you develop your own home telehealth program, you'll need to do this. One of the things that we all recommend is keep it simple. Start small. Start in a focused area. And one of the examples that physical therapy felt strongly about was ortho conditions. And speech pathology had some good evidence-based protocols and could bring up the idea of let's focus on Parkinson's. But there's some other examples listed here that you can look at to look at your high volume, your problem areas that you want to focus on, maybe the rural areas and where different types of diagnoses are common. And then discuss possible reasons for referral. So, again, we've just listed some possibilities here to kind of stimulate you thinking where you might want to begin. So maybe it's a patient that's preparing for discharge home, and you need at least one rehab clinician to see the patient. It could be acute care, it could be CLC, it could be respite, somebody who's been seen in a CBOC and would benefit from clinical video telehealth into the home. And so, again, I'm not going to read each of these for you, but it gives you an idea of some of the things that were discussed and brainstormed. Some of the things that the team will have to sit down and review are your privileging and your scope of practice for your individual disciplines, and does anything need to be revised or updated in your current privileges or scope. Review your state licensure and what comments there may be in your state licensure laws about providing telehealth services. I know, for example, there's one state that will not allow speech pathologists to do an initial eval via telehealth, but they can do all follow-ups via telehealth. So you want to make sure you review your state licensure laws. There are a variety of competencies that everyone will want to have. There's, of course, the telehealth equipment and using the telehealth equipment, your discipline-specific competencies that you may have, any DME competencies or cleaning equipment. And we'll get into this more, but that includes any equipment that you send out to the home. And the TCT or the telepresenter may be using the equipment out in the home, as well as the telehealth equipment itself. And then you're learning your communication strategies for the telehealth visit. And that may be learning how to keep, you know, your visual image clear and how you speak on the telehealth equipment and present yourself, the lighting, the background, et cetera. So there may be a variety of competencies. We do have some of those on the attachments that you can download. So in the box where it says Home Interdisciplinary Telerehab, there are some samples there for you to take a peek at, and we do have those will be loaded onto a website also for you to have in the future. Also, any telehealth service agreements or service agreements between different offices or services in your facility, if you're going between facilities, a memorandum of understanding, and the telehealth conditions of participation that may be organized and coordinated with your facility telehealth coordinator. This slide gives you a couple of thoughts on clinic setup, and there are two key options that we're sharing with you today. I do want to note that it is important for you to check with your local DSS staff and review what stop codes are used for your clinic profiles and which stop codes are attached to them. The HBPC primary stop code is 174, and that's what aligns with VERA. And so if you are aligned with HBPC and you're trying to capture what patients may be appropriate for VERA, you'll want to use that as your primary stop code. And then if you're doing clinical video telehealth into the home, the secondary stop code is always 179. Now, as you note, if you're using those two codes, you may not be able to capture which discipline is doing that service. So you can always add a discipline-specific four-character code if your facility or your service would like to sort per discipline. Des Moines example is listed below, and it uses 174-179. There is also, I'm just adding this in as something for you to discuss with your DSS team, but there is a telehealth code for aftercare, and this is a no copay code, but only if you're issuing or reviewing equipment and you're not providing any rehabilitation, counseling, or instruction. So you're just issuing something out. So that could be something to consider also if you want to capture that for visits with no copay. Many rehab services, you'll see under rehab service staff, want to have the rehab provider code listed first. So if you are not concerned with HBPC or VERA accounts, then you may list your individual service there. And we just provided one example with speech pathology as 204 in the primary position and CVT into the home as a secondary position. Some of you may be saying, what about all of the productivity data we're being asked to review now? And the rehab and productivity cube sorts data by person class and not by stop code. So what you want to do is make sure that your person class code is accurate. That you should check with your supervisor, service chief, or DSS or HR staff, whichever is appropriate. One of the other things that we didn't think about was about scheduling. And so one of the first things that had to be worked through or thought through are things like the vehicle for the telepresenter to go out, and when is that available or when do they reserve it, and then all of the scheduling decisions that need to be made about who will be responsible for scheduling and contacting the patient. And in the example you're going to hear today through Des Moines, the telepresenter was identified to do that. Are all the systems in place if the patient cancels at the last minute or has to be admitted to the hospital and they're not at home? If you have trouble connecting, and any possible group appointments that you may make. And, of course, you always have to establish all of your emergency procedures, your provider telephone numbers, telepresenter phone numbers, all the clinic phone numbers that are closest to the patient, any medical emergency procedures, crisis procedures, and patient family contact information. And that you may already have these in place at your facilities and may have a master list somewhere, but it's making sure that the provider and the telepresenter have all of those at the tip of their fingers in case it's needed. And then you want to start thinking about what do you really want to accomplish during this telerehab visit. So really focus in on what you're going to do. We have emphasized best practice or evidence-based practice. So you want to think about identifying those kinds of treatments or those types of therapies when you're deciding what you're going to provide. The frequency is also important to think about. So are you just going to do an interview, or are you going to interview and then go forward with an assessment or an evaluation? Are you only going to do a teleconsultation, or are you going to do follow-up, rehab, or mentoring? Follow-up may be a one-time visit just to check on the patient or to review equipment that you may have issued to the patient, whereas rehab is following the patient for a set number of visits and over a duration of time. And mentoring we always add in there because there may be times when you connect with another clinician and you're going to mentor them while they're in the patient's home. And we have seen this for some specialty care such as augmentative communication or laryngectomy care or ALS, where you needed to have multiple clinicians on a call at the same time. This is a table with a quick snapshot of what some of the speech pathologists have been reviewing, where they broke into what types of services they may want to provide via telehealth. So it was broken down into different diagnostic categories such as aphasia, voice, cognitive dysarthria, dysphagia, or head and neck cancer. And then across the top, you'll see evaluation, treatment, education, counseling, or and notes about whether the TCT or the telepresenter needs to be in the room or need to provide some assistance. And I highlighted in red, under treatment, you'll see Lee Silverman voice treatment because they're going to mention that again a little bit later. But there is strong evidence for that in the speech pathology literature that you can do it in person or in home and do intensive treatments for patients, for example, with dysarthria. So there is a set protocol, there is evidence for it, it is a good practice, and something that can be delivered by telehealth. So So each of us in each of our different disciplines need to think about that as we're selecting what we're going to provide. Also, one of the key issues that came up as this program was being rolled out is how important it is for the telepresenter or the TCT to actually do some training and hands-on with the rehab providers. So you may have screening tools that you commonly use or standardized tests and knowledge about things that they need to have when they get out into the home. So, for example, wheelchair tippers or gait belts, and then any type of equipment that you believe that you're going to issue or have them take out to the home to try with the patient while they're in the home. And so this is something that we've emphasized in a couple of other projects too. And I just have one slide here with an example. There, we developed the mild TBI evaluation or teleconsultation protocol. And one of the things we found was that the telepresenters may not be familiar with a cognitive screening tool. So on the website that you see there, you can go into that, and we've already developed a video module demonstrating how to do a MoCA via telehealth with the telepresenter, with the patient, and the provider giving the instructions by telehealth. And the other reason I put this slide in here is that one of the common themes that we found was that all disciplines were doing some type of cognitive screening. And so the team spent some time thinking about, okay, speech usually does one, OT usually provides some type of cognitive check, and PT usually provides some kind of cognitive check. And often it's before you make a decision about giving out a device and or whether you need to train a different person in the home, be it a spouse or a paid caregiver. And so this was one of the things that we thought was a common thing that all disciplines may be doing via telehealth to in the very early stages of the home visit. And so now we're going to walk you through a home visit. And this is the steps that were designed with a lot of different input from not only the Des Moines team, but a lot of input from the Pittsburgh crew and prior staff that have been involved in doing telehealth. And so often you'll find the consult is submitted by a primary care attending, the rehab service reviews it, and then may see them for an inpatient visit, outpatient visit, or initial home visit. And then step two is to really decide, will the patient be a candidate for telehealth? And some of the key criteria that the Des Moines team recommended were to look at the medical stability and able to stay in the home. Was the patient motivated? Is there a caregiver in the home? Any kind of sensory impairments, blind or hearing losses? Ability of the patient to follow instructions and comprehend instructions, any prior rehab the patient may have had, any current DME or assistive technology, and if possible, show the patient the telehealth technology you may use so that you can see if it can really operate. And if your answer is yes, then telehealth may be an option. It may be into the clinic. It may be using a TES unit, which we'll talk about in a minute, or the patient tablet, or a patient's own computer into the home. And I'm going to turn it over to Kirsten now, who's going to cover our telehealth services. And Kirsten, are you ready to roll here?
Oh, now I've been unmuted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me speak a little bit today. So telehealth covers quite a few modalities, and this is just three out of the five that we do cover, which is direct patient care. So home telehealth, what that is that it's collaboration with our home telehealth RNs and our primary care providers. And what we do is we have case management RNs that are assigned a panel of veterans, and they watch their vitals, their ADLs, and they look for certain parameters that are in place. Let's say a veteran has hypertension. They're watching for any blood pressure that's outside the parameter of what they have from the primary care provider. And then they're notifying the primary care provider, and they're working with them to decrease hospital admissions, ER visits, walk-in appointments. With home telehealth, VA Central Iowa has been able to decrease our bed days of care last year by 88%, which is huge. So we've been able to keep our veterans with CHF out of the hospital, or if they normally have a 7-day stay, we're able to take them down to a 2 or 3 day stay. It's been an amazing service for our veterans here. Clinical video telehealth is what you normally think of when you hear the word telehealth. It's mainly Skyping with a vet, with a provider, whether that be with our rehabilitation program that we do right now, with mental health, with primary care. We're able to provide gap coverage with primary care from our medical center to our CBOX. We're able to provide CBT to home with our mental health veterans, especially our OIS veterans. They have to take time off from work to come for their visits. With this technology, they're able to go out to their car if they want to and video on their lunch break and be able to have that care at the right place at the right time. Clinical video telehealth to home includes the tablets, but it also includes what we do with the rehab program, which is the telehealth clinical technicians actually going into the home as well with our transportable exam station. Store and forward technology is kind of just what it sounds like. We take images of retinas for diabetic retinopathy screening. We do skin issue images for teledermatology. Telewound is something that hasn't been rolled out yet, but we're looking at. It has been rolled out at different facilities within our vision. Telespirometry is kind of a mini pulmonary function test. But the gist of it is we take an image or a study and we store it in the veteran's medical record in CPRS, and we forward it to a specialist, whether it's a dermatologist or an ophthalmologist or a pulmonologist, and they're able to look at that asynchronously with the veteran not right there in front of them, give their treatment recommendations, any diagnostics, and then forward that to the primary care provider or a specialist on site to be able to follow up on. Can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, there we go. So what this is just an image of what one of our home telehealth units. It's really small, really easy to use. In fact, some of ours are even color-coded for the wires, so the veteran only has to plug in orange to orange, green to green. They plug it into the wall, and it's automatically set up by our home telehealth RN as to what disease management protocol that they're going to be followed for. They usually do their vitals or questions daily is what we ask of. We do get Bureau reimbursement on our home telehealth veterans if they are non-institutional care veterans or chronic care management, and that is all that's all done on our continuum of care form, which is done every 6 months with the veteran to deem what they qualify for. So what this is just kind of a synopsis of what kind of questions would be asked of a veteran that was being followed in the TBI disease management protocol. And if you'll notice, you'll see questions with red, yellow, or green. Those are highlighted alerts for the RN to look at. She or he will go into our vendor website and look at the veteran's responses or vital signs for that day. The parameters that are put in place are agreed upon by the primary care veteran or by the primary care provider, and those alerts are based on those parameters. So any red flag that is showing the RN really needs to probably call and have an intervention, whether that be by phone, by secure messaging, or any other way that they have set up. Then they would respond back with an intervention note in CPRS and also sign the provider to that for any follow-up that needs to be done. And again, just a couple more sample questions there. So for CBT to clinics, we have various reasons or various ways we can do this. In front of you right now on the right picture is what we call our total, our global media cart. It has several peripherals, including a total exam camera, an otoscope, a digital stethoscope, as well as the regular video camera that allows you to speak to your provider. There is a highly defined camera with the otoscope. We have ENT doctors that look at it and are just amazed at what they can see with it. They actually want one for their office. The total exam camera is able to be in three different settings for dermatological pictures, for just regular viewing of, let's say, an ankle with swelling or edema to try to see what pitting there is, as well as far away. So we can set the camera on the floor of a hallway, and we can watch the veteran skate down the hallway as well. We also have EX90s, which is in the top picture, as well as the bottom picture, I guess. Those also have document readers on them, so the camera actually flips down. So if you have something that you want the veteran to see, you can put that, whether it's exercises or a diagram that you're trying to show the veteran during an appointment, that camera actually flips down, and the veteran will see the document on their screen just as they were looking at the document right in front of them. We always have with our EX90s a VA computer in the room, so the veteran's able to, or the provider's able to access CPRS, link communicator with the TCT that's in the room with the veteran, any other SharePoints or education that they will be able to show them as well. And Mary Carol's exactly right. It can be via landline, cell, or satellite. We have the, a lot of options available. We always have a telephone that's available there for the provider, too, in case there are any emergencies, whether that be with behavior or with medical emergencies and there's not a TCT in the room. We have detailed emergency procedures and a binder with all emergency numbers listed at every single telehealth spot. So when we're talking about CBT to the home, there's a few different options available. There's the transportable exam station, which is pretty much that global cart in a suitcase. It is a metal suitcase on wheels. We're able to roll that right into the veteran's home. It has the VA laptop in it that they're able to video with, a total exam camera, a digital stethoscope, an otoscope, and we also send, with the TCT, a blood pressure cuff scale, pulse oximeter, and can't remember if I said blood pressure cuff or not. Also that the veteran can have a total set of vitals taken at the same time. We also have the option to be able to use a veteran's home computer and give them or and download Jabber to their computer as well for clinical video telehealth at home. And we also have the HAT tablet that also comes with peripherals such as a stethoscope, pulse oximeter, blood pressure cuff, that sort of thing. We, coming in April, we will also have a regular mobile tablet that's just a standardized tablet with no peripherals, and those will be coming through the Denver Acquisition and Logistics Center. So to go more into the transportable exam station, we have, there are a lot of advantages with the test unit. Of course, we have the mobility and flexibility to move around the home with the laptop, peripherals available like the exam camera, pulse ox. We can take still pictures of the home, but we do still go in with a regular point-and-shoot camera, so we can download those to our HISA grant applications as well. With the laptop, you do need to have your TCT have VPN access. So the challenges with that is the case is large and it is kind of heavy. The battery life is approximately 6 hours, and actually with the older computers, it tends to be less. It tends to need to be plugged in frequently. The connectivity may be inconsistent for weather, for internal apartments, like basement level apartments. If they're in a metal building with a metal roof, that can hamper connectivity. Pixelation with rapid movement. So we do try to keep it somewhere where there's not going to be a lot of movement. The TCT does go in a little early from the appointment to find out exactly what the lighting is like and try to do what's best for the appointment. And again, consider home lighting and shadows. They do go in a little bit early to try to fix any of those challenges that we have. So with a patient's personal computer, right now we do have Jabber software. And I believe Nan told me that rehab has the ability to procure those, a personal computer for the veteran, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what you were
saying? That's correct. If rehab providers can order computers and communication and different augmentative communication devices, that will allow you to use Jabber software at the same time. Now, I want to clarify, if you're doing that, it's for rehab purposes and not for telehealth purposes. Thanks, Kirsten.
Thank you. So for the mobile video telehealth, the new platform that's under pilot phase, and I did see your question there about when it's going to be deployed. Right now, we've been told anywhere from May to August, so we're really not, there's nothing cement in place of when that's going to be rolled out. So the advantages for using Jabber software on a veteran's computer, of course, the computer is already in the patient's home, the convenience and when it's available. The veteran can access My Healthy Vet at the time. We can send them in exercises ahead of time, instructions, and then we can also have them download any applications for exercises and so forth. Challenges, the veteran does have to have a computer or have the computer and also have a webcam on the computer. The internet connection is the responsibility of the veteran. Jabber may not be compatible with some operating system upgrades. We did find that out this year with the new Apple iOS 9 upgrade. Jabber is not compatible with that. And there is a multi-step login process for the veteran. A new email and password each session has to be sent, and it's only operable for a certain set amount of time surrounding that appointment. And then also along with that, there usually is a test call that takes place with the TCT calling the veteran with that link to make sure that it's working prior to the appointment. The CDT patient tablet, here you'll see the HAT tablet, the peripherals that it comes with it, along with the scale, the blood pressure, the pulse ox. The general exam camera can come with it as well as a stethoscope. These were purchased by the Office of Telehealth Services, and we had some that were available, but they ran out pretty quick. And we found that the Dallas will be servicing those again. It sounds like April 1st is the date on those. So the advantages of the HAT tablet, there's multiple modes of connectivity, 4G, Wi-Fi, or wired. And actually with the tablet, it's actually more the 4G than anything else because it has that built-in 4G connection where it automatically connects to the cell tower. It's really simple to deploy for the veterans and therapists. It's a plug-and-play kind of technology. You plug it in, and it's ready to go. The peripherals available, of course, again, are the Bluetooth. Bluetooth is the blood pressure cuff, the weight scale, the thermometer, wired glucometer, the camera, and the stethoscope. The pulse oximeter is also Bluetooth. And the readings for those Bluetooth show up right on the screen for the provider, so there's none of the veteran having to read it off to you. My Healthy Vet is already installed on those tablets, so the only thing really that the veteran can access is any application that we already place on that tablet, which is right now is My Healthy Vet. And then also we're able to call them. They cannot call out on that tablet. So those challenges have been, there's been a limited number of devices available. There were a couple extra steps and training required in order to order those from the DALC. Carriers and coverage, right now it has been Verizon. I hear that they're going to T-Mobile, which I think will be a bigger challenge for us, especially here in Iowa with our highly rural veterans. I think that's going to be a bigger challenge than what it has been in the past. With the HAT tablet, it does need to remain plugged in to an outlet. That is not the case with the new ones that are coming out in April 1st without the peripherals. The screen is pretty small, and it may need a headset for those of our veterans who have some hearing impairment. I see a question from Julie asking if I find better connectivity with the veteran using hardwire connection versus Wi-Fi connection. With the tablets, they are just cellular. Right now, we're not Wi-Fi and hardline. We do find that a hardline connection, hardwire connection, is better with their laptops versus Wi-Fi. So this just gives a flow map of the ordering. Right now, we have our few of our LIPs and clinical users putting in a CBT consult into CPRS. There are some criteria on that consult that's asking, does this veteran already have a computer? Do they have internet? Because we want to make sure that if the veteran already has an internet connection and already has a computer with a web camera, that we're trying that avenue before we're going with the tablet. So then the order's placed. Right now we have our telehealth clinical technicians for the rural health program are our designated staff who get our alerts on those, and then they go into rows and order the tablet for what the provider has requested. They receive an email from the DALC regarding what the serial number is, and then the TCT goes back into the console and documents that there so that the provider knows exactly what number to call that veteran on. So this is the Rose link, and again, you go in. When we do ours, we're actually in the veteran, and we go through CPRS. So this is the user guide on how to order those. So My Healthy Vet, like I said, is already preloaded on the tablet. We do have different apps from the App Store that we can have downloaded upon the provider's request. And to answer the question about the tablet left in the patient's home, we do follow up on those. We run our consult tracking periodically, probably once a week, to find out if those veterans are still using them. If they are not still using them, we do send them a retrieval kit through the DALC, and then they're sent back for refurbishing and to be sent out to another veteran. So with that, I think for the pre-flight, I'm going to kick back to Nan, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you. And so one of the things that we started to look at was all of these different details do require what we coined the term pre-flight, similar to an airline pilot checking the airplane before it goes out. And essentially, the telepresenter needs to check through a variety of things, and the rehab clinician needs to do a variety of things. One of the things is to make sure that the connectivity is good, because if you have a bad connection, then you're going to have a visit that isn't successful. And if you do have poor connectivity that day or problems with the equipment, you always want to have a backup plan. The other thing I'm going to highlight on here without covering every detail is the fact that what the clinicians found was that they really needed to design a kit for that individual patient to go out to the home. And so here's an example of a kit that might be developed for someone with Parkinson's disease or a stroke, where the OT, PT, or speech pathologist may put together a kit with a variety of materials that the telepresenter is going to need to have when they get out to the home. And this is just an example of a resource that's available. One of the clinicians found that it was really easy if they made up a notebook of a variety of exercises and had it for the telepresenter to take out and have all those exercises available to hand the patient before they leave them in the home. And then the next step would be actually designing what you're going to do for the telehealth visit. And so in Des Moines' case, they decided that the telepresenter, it would be best for them to arrive 10 to 15 minutes just to connect and make sure the connection is all in place, and if not, set in place the alternative option for doing it. Getting the patient positioned and making sure the views are correct, identifying if the patient has vision or hearing losses, and making sure the lighting and the shadows are good so that the clinician can see easily. And then the clinician would connect, introduce themselves, describe their roles, share the goals of the visit, and then make sure that they get verbal consent to complete a telehealth visit. Now, the next couple of slides I'm just going to cover very, very briefly because we're going to spend time on it on our March 31st, where we're actually going to have a demonstration and video clips of how to walk through the home visit. And so this is the outline, the interview, doing some cognitive screening, and then determine whether you're going to continue the visit or not. So if the patient has medical problems, if the patient has too many cognitive issues, are you going to stop the visit and recommend that you see the patient face-to-face? The steps for the home environmental assessment, the physical skills assessment, and then the review of the current equipment and technology or adaptive devices in the home. And then an actual device trial if you're sending out a device for the patient to try to determine if they need it. Then review the plan, what you actually are going to recommend, the goals and setting the goals for additional follow-up or additional intervention, and then share any educational materials. And like I said, these last three slides are going to be covered in detail during our March 31st. After the visit, each telepresenter and clinician will need to document, code, follow up with any further instructions for the patient or pictures, taking pictures in the home, still pictures while they're there. And there was a question about HISA grant, and can you do some of the things required for a HISA grant via telehealth? And yes, we will be covering that. Then the clinician making sure they code, send any additional prosthetics consults or referrals, and schedule a follow-up visit or visits. And then step six, we're going to highlight again on the call on the 31st, but our key issue here was we were finding a lot of times patients were given a device, but nobody ever followed up with them or checked to see if they were using that device correctly or did they need a different type of device. So step six is going to be something we're going to highlight over and over. Finally, seven, if you are going to offer some rehab or therapy, and this is just a quick snapshot of a clinician and spouse here. And then scheduling some monitoring or reassessment if you do rehab, or maybe in 3 months you want to follow up to see how they're doing with any kind of equipment that you've ordered or issued. And I'm going to turn this over to Mark now to share the outcomes.
Thanks, Nan. Just a little quick brief synopsis. VA Central Iowa is located in a rural area with some highly rural locations embedded with it. This slide just kind of goes over what we've seen, which you probably have seen all across the area in your site, relating to barriers receiving barriers to care for folks that we treat within this area. Prior to this program being implemented, we had looked at how many home safety evals that we were doing from our occupational therapy department. We were also looking at how much we are outsourcing for, at the time, non-VA care for physical therapy, as well as speech-language pathology. Our speech-language pathologists felt that it was unable to provide intensive voice treatment for veterans. And what they found is, with us being in a rural area, it was difficult to find professionals out in the area that would be able to provide this as well. And so we looked at the past processes, how things were initiated, and we thought that there'd be a way to improve upon this. This slide is busy, and it was intended to be. This program and this pilot, we wanted an interdisciplinary rehab team that includes these folks. We also needed to look at how we were going to have the providers collaborate with the telehealth technicians. We also looked at how this was going to work within our current system of a service line, where our service line was extended care and rehabilitation. So the nuts and bolts of this slide could be summed up in basically four words: collaboration, communication, and relationship building. And without it, most things will not take off and most things won't be sustained. So please keep that in mind as you work locally. They developed locally this competency. A lot of questions from specifically therapists was what, you know, we have TCTs going to the site, you know, can they do this, can they do that? And, you know, there's a lot of worries that way. And our team collaborated to create this competency sheet that I believe is in the packet of materials that folks can look at. What you'll hear about next call, more specifically, is some different protocols, assessment, and interventions. So I don't want to steal their thunder here in 2 weeks. Some of the outcomes, so everybody starts talking about outcomes. We were able to look at our occupational therapy home safety evaluations. We now have them scheduled within 2 to 3 visits when they're consulted. That was a major impact. As we looked at some of our HISA and major medical equipment committee meetings and referrals, we had some instances where it was taking a couple months. Now we're down to less than 4 weeks. So that has been a huge impact. It has had a huge impact with veterans and their caregivers. Our physical therapists are now able to see the veterans in their homes for post-surgical items. Again, orthopedics loves this, the patients love it, and the family loves it. Our speech-language pathologists are providing the Lee Silverman voice therapy training, and so it has been, we're able to demonstrate reducing costs and travel time for our veterans. So benefits, as you can see, access to care and a whole listing of here, but specifically when we looked in the third and fourth quarter of fiscal year 15, we found that our telehealth encounters saved an average of 57 miles a visit for our providers. That translates into, with the number of encounters that we provided during the third and fourth quarter, 29,000 miles saved. And then if you start looking at travel reimbursement estimate, that's roughly 17,000 just in travel reimbursement. Our TCTs provided 197 home visits and 70 home safety evals in coordination with the provider. And that, again, was just from July through the end of the fiscal year. As part of our team, our home-based primary care PAC team, this, what they were able to do and accomplish in the third and fourth quarter assisted our HBPC PAC team to demonstrate a reduction by 42% of hospital readmissions post-enrollment. That's huge, especially as you start looking at the CMS 30-day hospital readmission rate. So kind of an avenue and a thought to think of how you can improve upon your sale measure at your facility. One of the I guess proud things for our facility also, just to kind of throw this in, is the site submitted this program for our VISN 23 Network Star Award. We are also submitting a write-up that should be coming out in the Office of Rural Health spring newsletter, hopefully. Additionally, they provided feedback and discussion on this pilot through the VISN office with the United Kingdom. So our VISN office, which is VISN 23, has a program going on with the United Kingdom where we can share knowledge and learn from each other. And so we're excited about that and what that may lead. Challenges thus far, again, looking at how patient tablets, clinicians taking the time to learn the limitations of the technology, best practices, what do you do outside of your comfort zone? Again, the big one, learning to communicate with an interprofessional team, and all kudos to our site on that. And then reliance upon telepresenter to be hands-on. That takes some faith, that takes some communication, and takes some basically respect for each other. If you haven't seen this through a VA blog, this is a highlight. This is our physical therapist and an occupational therapist. They submitted a blog. This is access to that. This demonstrated our CVT to home encounters for OT, PT, and speech. When you look at fiscal year 14 and then the growth in fiscal year 15 and then through fiscal year 16 for Q1, traditionally, I can tell you some updated numbers of this. We are currently, through the second quarter, we're already up to 359 encounters, so we're excited about that. When we look back at fiscal year 15 during our third and fourth quarter, when we really felt that the program was up and running well, we treated within this 238 rural veterans were served with the assigned staff. So our HBPC PAC team saw more than this, but this is just the assigned staff. And then the number of rural encounters equaled 1143, of which 521 were completed via telehealth. This is just an additional slide that folks may think of for outcome measures that may or may not be appropriate at your site. And, as we look to enterprise things, the original plan as we got started was, what could we do from a site perspective to enterprise this? Now what can we do from a national perspective? And with the help of the University of Pittsburgh and the links and talking with folks not only from the United Kingdom but also Australia, we feel that we can actually enterprise this program and give thoughts globally. So, again, kudos to everybody that has taken part in this. Nan, back to you.
Thanks, Mark. And in wrapping up, because I see we've run a tad over time, we'll open it up for any discussions or questions that anybody has. I see there's a lot of questions going on in the chat box about copay, and so we'll try and get some more instructions out about that. Thanks for those who are answering the questions. And I think one of the other key things was that the diagnostic and procedure codes, and that is the same as you would code those the same as a face-to-face visit. I want to remind everybody that our next call, where we're going to go through a demonstration, is on March 31st at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll send out another reminder and the links. We're going to meet Joe and his virtual care team as they walk through a home evaluation. And I want to thank the Pittsburgh crew for helping us. And also want to send a deep gratitude to our Des Moines team who really, really helped show how to make this successful at the ground level. We'll leave the phone lines. I guess we won't have the phone lines open. I'm sorry. You can continue to write in the chat box, and we will keep a list of all these questions and help cover that during the next call. And if Deb, Mark, or Kirsten have any additional comments before we close, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and I'm so pleased to see all the interest in this.
I just wanted to thank everybody for taking the time out of their day to listen. This is a really, really exciting program for Central Iowa, and we're very, very proud of the work that the telehealth clinical technicians have done. It's to me, with the telehealth side of it, it's the providers and it's the TCTs that have made this so successful because they're just so great.
And Nan, we still have your polling questions that we didn't even get a chance to show.
I know. We didn't quite time it all out right, did we?
That's okay.
Does it look like people are still on?
There are people dropping off. I mean, you can at least throw a polling question and see who's left.
Okay. You want to do that, and then we can do it again on the next call.
Sure.
For those that may still be online, there are going to be a few polling questions.
Yeah.
And Rich, I'll let you decide how long you think it's appropriate to leave up.
All right, Nan, we closed the first poll, but
okay.
I mean, we'll keep a record of everything, obviously, for you.
Great, thanks.
We're happy to open up a second one if you would like us to.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Do you want us to keep going in, or do you want to hold off until next week?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead, since we've got people answering.
Sure. And the fourth one, Ann?
Yes, thanks, Rich.
You got it.
For folks that are responding yes, if you could put your name in the chat box, that would be great. And we can get in touch with you for supporting your next steps. Great. We got a good list going.
Deb, we'll have a copy of all the chat, so you don't have to feel like you're rushed to copy down all those email addresses.
Oh, that would be great to get these last names. And
yep.
I know many of them, so that's great.
Yeah, I didn't want you to have to worry about trying to write everything down. We'll email out the whole entire chat that was
okay.
distributed today.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging in there at the end there, even though everyone else jumped off. You helped with some responses. So I think we're done. Is there anything else we need to conclude with, Nan?
I don't think so. I just thank everybody. And I guess we'll touch bases with the team briefly tomorrow just to talk about things and get ready for the next one.
Look forward
That's
to
great.
Talking to you guys tomorrow. And we're going to close down the Adobe Connect along with the bridge. So, and we'll send out the results later on.
Thanks so
much,
guys.
Bye.
Great
Bye.
Job.
Thank you again. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye, everybody.